From the soundtrack of the movie Rosewood, that song is called Look Down, Lord. And this is the music I was raised on, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of singing that led my mother and my father to find one another and get together and create me. And so when I think of the soundtrack of my youth, of course, there's a lot of early hip hop, there's a lot of R&B, there's a lot of pop music, but there's also a good body of sacred and classical music that has helped to define some of my tastes, what I'm interested in, and also that leads us to our first guest on today's program, who is here in Philadelphia and one of the starring roles of Puccini's Turandot. But in addition to that, as you will hear, if I get a little verklempt during the course of this interview, it's because it is not often where you meet people that speak bass, let alone sing bass. So this is a delight for me as we are joined in studio by Morris Robinson. Good morning and welcome to Word.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to giggle you all because I know that's not professional. But I love it. I love it. I love it. Let us begin with the idea that it is not very often where we see Black men celebrated in the terms of success in the classical realm. And you don't come from a background where singing classical music has been the be-all, end-all for you in terms of your training and how you came into this space. So let our listening audience know how you've gone from the football gridiron to now presenting operatic bass.
Well, I think that, I was blessed with some gifts. Mm-hmm. Growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, I sang with the Atlanta Boy Choir when I was early on. My mom sang in the gospel choir. My dad was a Baptist minister. My sisters were singers. So I grew up in that type of environment. And I actually was a church drummer, which I still do from time to time.
Uh-huh.
But, singing was something I never really wanted to do, but it was something I always knew that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as my mother heard me sing one time, she was like, all right, we're going to start singing now. So I went into the gospel choir, but I also played the drums, and she made me do the Atlanta Boy Choir, which I really didn't like, because being a big boy from the South, growing up in Southwest Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
singing with the Atlanta Boy Choir wasn't like the thing you aspired to do. The thing you aspired to do was play for Ben Hill football team.
Okay.
So I just think the dichotomy was always there within myself that, I was expected to live a certain type of lifestyle because, I was a big guy and I really aspired to do that. All the guys you looked up to were guys that were, out knocking heads on the gridiron. That's how you gained your popularity. That's how you gained your identity. But I also had this innate music ability, mm-hmm. and I loved music. Like I said, I played drums a lot. And it wasn't until I got to high school. I went to high school performing arts, and I auditioned for the band because I was playing in the band, and my mother made me go back the next day and audition for the chorus also. And
I like your mom.
she was all in. She's like, "You're gonna do this? You're gonna..." So I auditioned for the chorus, and for the first time in the history of that school, they allowed me to do, because it was two periods of performing arts. Mm-hmm. I did one period of band, one period of chorus.
Yeah.
And then I got to the first football game of the year, and I was in the marching band, and I was like, this ain't me, and I can't do this anymore. So I finished out that season, and the spring ball came up, and I was doing a city band competition or something, and I just told the band director, I'm going to play football. So I quit the band, joined the chorus full time to play football. So
okay.
There's the irony in that. I actually sang in order to play football. So, but then I got exposed to some things in high school. I went to a high school performing arts. So we did the Mozart Requiem my junior year. Mm. And I got all the bass solos, which is a tuba, medium, spartan, so. And then my senior year, we did Haydn's Creation, which is it starts off with a big bass solo. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. And I did that my senior year. And then I was also part of the touring company. So we went to Europe, you know, we went to Belgium, France, London, and Japan,
okay,
touring, and all over the United States. So I was like captain of the football team and putting on, like, you know, sequins vests at night and singing, you know,
yeah,
from Man of La Mancha. So yeah, it was all, I always lived that life. And when it came time to go to college, I wanted to go on a football scholarship. That was it. I was going to be one of those guys. And I took a football scholarship to the Citadel. It was a military academy. Yep. For lots of different reasons, I chose to go there, but mostly because of the academic reputation of the school. And it allowed me, I felt like it was the type of environment where guys were smart enough and in touch enough to understand that, you know, you go to certain places and it's just all about being a jock, you know. And at this school, these guys weren't really living with the misconception that they were going to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. We all played great ball. We beat a lot of big schools. We had a lot of talented guys. And, you know, they kind of embraced my difference, if you will. So did the gospel choir there and played football. And the opera thing came many years later at the age of 30, after singing at everyone's wedding and singing the national anthem at lots of football games and stuff. I auditioned for a weekend program up in New England when I was working for another company up there. And I was in corporate America. I did the whole thing, you know. And I, without music being anything but a side thing to do. And then I got to New England, auditioned for the weekend program there at the New England Conservatory, and the lady heard my voice and said, "Have you ever thought about singing opera?" And I said, "No." And she put me in the opera studio, and from that led to Sharon Daniels at Boston University hearing me, so she gave me a full scholarship. I quit my job, you know, turned in my company car, corporate card, and started studying opera full-time. And like a few weeks later, I was offered the role of the King in Aida with Boston Lyric Opera.
Beautiful.
And it just went from there.
Yeah.
Went from there.
Well, see, what I love is that, you know, some people say they look for signs, right? They look for signs that this is where they're supposed to go and this is what they're supposed to do. And your signs were that you took advantage of the opportunities that your vocals gave you.
Right.
And then it also brought you an opportunity to continue to study. So you got to travel, you got a chance to continue to study. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was a green light, even though it wasn't a direct path there, the way that some people envision this is how it comes to be.
Well, the big green light happened at the age of 30, like I said, when I got into the Boston University Opera Institute. That's kind of a big deal. It's one of the most elite programs around the country. Mm-hmm. And she took me in on raw talent and in faith that I had the ability to in the aptitude to do what they wanted me to do. About 2 weeks after that, I auditioned for the chorus of Boston Lyric, and the music director heard me and asked me to sing The King and Aida. Mm-hmm. That was a big green light, because it was like, okay, maybe I'm onto something here, you know? And I've always enjoyed music. It was always my first love in football. It's like a tie, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When that opportunity hit, it was like, maybe, you know, something's happening here. And then the following year, I got into the Metropolitan Young Artist Program, which is like the biggest deal on the planet.
Yeah.
And so my path was aligned with green lights. And also, I mean, you know, people hear that story concise into a very small amount of time and don't realize how much work one must put into to get to that level where you're accepted. I mean, and able to perform on world-class stages with world-class musicians that have studied this stuff all their lives. Mm-hmm. So academically, I had a lot to catch up on. Vocally, I was given certain gifts, but I had to learn how to refine those too. But the amount of hard work put into that should not ever be overlooked, because it's almost incomprehensible how much time and dedication one has to put into being a sales rep, in September and singing at Boston Lyric Opera in November and getting into the Metropolitan Opera the following year. It's like, you have no clue how much work there is. So,
well, yeah. And the thing that always impresses me about opera and classical music is that so much of it is written in foreign languages.
Correct.
So I would imagine that at some point maybe you were singing phonetically, but you've got to have a working knowledge of how many languages at this point in singing.
Well, I sing in German, French, Italian, Russian, in English, and Latin, of course. I do less French than anything, but, you know, my last appearance at Carnegie Hall was a French piece. So, and you're right. When I first started out, it was kind of like phonetics. It's like, okay, how's this vowel go? And just going from vowel to vowel. You understand what you're saying, but you really don't understand what you're saying and then, you know, because I was thrown into this so fast, and then I retrospectively went back. I went to Italy for the summer, stayed with an Italian family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grown, but I'm like staying with a family and right. eating three meals with them and walking around Italy with my notebook because it was important enough for me to learn how to speak in that language so I could understand the rhythm of it. Then I did the same thing the following year in Germany,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I could, because those are my two primary languages. The Latin I was more exposed to because I had done the Mozart Requiem in high school. So,
right.
but yeah, it's just, you know, mapping out a plan, having a lot of people that kind of know exactly what you need to do and knowing who to trust and how to, and then you have to have the aptitude to make the application
yeah.
and the desire and the support and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's a tough road, but it's paying off. So
indeed yeah. it is. But you know, before we dig into some of the logistics and specifics of why mm-hmm. you're here in Philadelphia, one of the things I loved about reading your bio and looking into some of your background is that you've named a couple people that I also have on my favorites list in terms of influences or music that you'd like to listen to, including Philadelphia's own Wanya Morris of Boyz II Men. So, I mean,
yeah,
how do you justify, I was going to say, what do you love about him? Because his vocal range and sort of, I guess, what he asserts into the vocal space is a little different than what's demanded of you on a regular
Absolutely.
basis.
And I think that in my field, especially, I think in probably on his side of the fence as well, people admire that which they can't do.
Mm.
You know, I've never been the type of vocalist that can do runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the master of doing runs. You
yes,
know, it's ridiculous. So I hear him do, I call it vocal acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
I could never do those things. But, you know, I wonder at least if he would hear me sing and go, wow, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's just a mutual admiration of different talents, you know,
yeah.
so that's one of the reasons I like his voice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Well, we have several opportunities in addition to this main stage performance in order to get a chance to get to know you, to listen to you, and to hear you do a wide range of material. So let's talk about some of the events that you're doing, and let's start with the one that's happening this Sunday.
Well, I have a recital coming up this Sunday. It's at the school. What's it?
Yeah, School of the Future.
School of the Future.
At 40th and Parkside.
Okay, I'm doing a recital there. It starts at 2:30, and it's a variety of music. I think I start off with a big, huge Mozart concert aria in Italian, and then I go right to some Schubert in German, and then I do some Wolf, a whole set of Wolf songs, and then I do some Verdi.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's Italian. So you got all the German and Italian in the first half, and then I come back with a mostly English set. I start with Bernstein, then I go with some Langston Hughes poetry set to music of Margaret Bonds. There's a lot of stuff there. So
yeah.
It should be interesting. It should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I sang through the whole thing yesterday, then I sang rehearsal last night, so I got to kind of pace myself.
yes. And people need to understand, too, that classical music, opera, is draining on the body. So you all really do literally have to pace yourselves in terms of how much you can go through this material.
Well, you know, when we do what we do and we project over, you know, I mean, for people that don't understand what classical musicians go through, especially on the operatic stage, I always try to tell people that. Imagine the first row of the audience being 40 feet in front of you. From the front of the stage. That's
right.
The first row.
Yeah.
And in front of you is an orchestra of like 60 or 70 players.
Yes.
And they're going hard to paint. So you got to sing past them just to get to the front row. And then there's several rows. And then there's several balconies.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in there has to hear you. And yeah, so it's more of an aerobic exercise than anything because you have to have the musculature in place to sustain yourself over hours long of projection. The voice doesn't get as tired as much as the body does,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm recently just coming back. I went last weekend. I was in London performing, and I flew back here and tried to get back on this time frame. So it's a lot going on, and I've done lots of appearances and stuff. But I'll be ready. Don't worry. I'll be ready to sing on Saturday. Sunday. We'll it'll be a good concert. So everyone come out. You know, I'm always the type to shake hands and say hello to everybody afterwards, too. So it'll be kind of fun.
Yes, indeed. And you are here in town specifically with the Opera Company of Philadelphia to do Turned Out by Puccini. The performances are scheduled. And again, so you understand aerobic exercise. They're also scheduled to give the singers a chance to recoup before they go. So I've done musical theater where you got the 8 performance weeks and then 2 days off or 2.5 days off. And that is rough on the body. But for opera, it seems spaced out, but that's because they need time to recoup and come back. So the performances for Turned Out are September 23rd, a matinee on the 25th, then the 28th, the 30th, and another matinee on October 2nd. And this is all at the Academy of Music.
Correct.
So that's the full out piece. And then you're doing something else for Opera on the Mall. I don't have the date for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be on the 1st.
Okay.
And Opera on the Mall is a broadcast in the mall area.
By Independence Hall.
Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on large screens with stereo sound and projection screens. And you can bring your sandwiches and your blankets and kind of sit out and check out the opera for free. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity for it. If you don't have a ticket or are unable to attend a performance, you can certainly come out and see what we're doing live for free.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Yeah.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know how many folks we have in the listening audience that are diehard classical music fans or extremely curious and very glad to know that these kinds of performances come into the community, 40th and Parkside. So we have 5 pairs of tickets that we would like to give away for those of you who would like to be in attendance, and you get Mr. Robinson all to yourself on Sunday with this wide range of performance from spoken words set to music, along with this range of beautiful classical music that you'll get a chance to take in for free. Thanks to the tickets that the Opera Company of Philadelphia has donated to us to give away to you. So the numbers to call us and score them is 215-634-8065, toll free at 1-866-361-0900. Troy will take down your information. And so what's next for you after
this? Oh, God,
this?
When I get done here on the 3rd, I start rehearsal in Milan for my first Porgy, the title role of Porgy and Bess. So I'm in Milan doing that at La Scala, and then I come back to the Metropolitan Opera to do Magic Flute. Then I go to Los Angeles Opera to do Abduction from Seraglio. Then I go back to the Met to do Aida. Then I go to Boston Symphony to do the Mozart Requiem. Then New York Philharmonic to do Das Rang. I'm
exhausted just hearing that. But busy is very, very good.
Yeah, the opposite is not good.
Exactly. Well, I'm delighted to have had a chance to meet you and have you here in our studios today to say, please keep doing what you do.
Thank you.
Because, as a child, again, that was raised on this music and given a love for it, I know that sometimes there's a big disconnect between how we see our opportunities in the industry, whatever that means to people, and the realities on the ground for the people who love this and are doing this on a regular basis. We need to come together as a community to support you and the work that you are doing, to see these pieces and to have a conversation about how we preserve a sense of cultural integrity in our community, because Black folks do it all. And so we need to be able to celebrate the Wanyes and you in equal measure.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely one of your cheerleaders in that regard.
Well, thank
so
you.
I'm happy to uplift it and glad to be able to spread the word about what you're doing here in Philadelphia while you're in town.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is operatic bass, Morris Robinson, who is one of the leading roles in Turned Out by Puccini that's being staged by Opera Philadelphia. We hope that many of you, even if you don't win tickets today, will also make your way to School of the Future on 40th and Parkside this Sunday at 2:30 for his solo concert recital, and learn more about how Morris Robinson is making his inroads and sustaining a career in classical music.